Friends in Christ, in this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to struggle against sin, death, and evil, all that keeps us from loving God and each other. This is the struggle to which we were called at baptism. Within the community of the church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. Let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor, and enter the celebration of the great 3 days reconciled with God and with one another. Let us take a moment for silence and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal God, in the sharing of a meal, your Son established a new covenant for all people. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, the holy meal may speak again to our hearts, feed our spirits, and refresh our bodies through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the 12th chapter of Exodus. God said to Moses and Aaron while still in Egypt, "This month is to be the first month of the year for you. Address the whole company of Israel. Tell them that on the 10th of this month, each one is to take a lamb for their family, one lamb to a house. If the family is too small for a lamb, then share it with a close neighbor, depending upon the number of persons involved. Be mindful of how much each person will eat. Your lamb must be a healthy male, 1 year old. You can select it either from the sheep or the goats. Keep it penned until the 14th day of this month and then slaughter it. The entire community of Israel will do this at dusk. Then take some of the blood and smear it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which you will eat. You are to eat the meat roasted in the fire that night, along with bread made without yeast and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water. Make sure it's roasted, the whole animal, head, legs, and innards. Do not leave any of it until morning. If there are leftovers, burn them in the fire. And here is how you are to eat it. Be fully dressed with your sandals on and your stick in your hand. Eat in a hurry. It is the Passover to God. I will go through the land of Egypt on this night and strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, whether human or animal, and bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am God. The blood will serve as a sign on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No disaster will touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This will be a memorial day for you. You will celebrate it as a festival to God down through the generations, a fixed festival celebration to be observed always." The word of the Lord. Thank you. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. Paul said, "Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me.' After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. 'This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me.' What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt." The word of the Lord. The events in the last Thursday of Jesus' life are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26, verses 17 to 75. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, one after another, 'Surely not I, Lord.' He answered, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to not have been born.'" Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the gospel of the Lord. What are we to say to these things? Jesus begins the evening celebrating the Passover, the biggest celebration for people in the entire year, celebrating how God has freed them from slavery. He's with his friends, eating and drinking, and the evening ends with him arrested, betrayed by one of his closest friends. After having prayed and been deserted by everyone, he finds himself alone and in trouble. We too are alone and in trouble, each in our own ways. Maybe not in trouble to the extent that Jesus was, but certainly this Lent, certainly this Maundy Thursday, we can perhaps identify with his situation better than most years. Personally, in case you haven't heard by now, Pastor Phil's mother died last night, so he has lost both of his parents here in the last 2 weeks. And we all are feeling the pain of isolation and being separated, perhaps anxiety about what the coming months are going to bring as we watch case numbers rise and our concerns for healthcare workers increase, our own financial situations perhaps unstable. We certainly find ourselves in an unprecedented and troubled scenario. We would do well here to follow Jesus' lead, for even though these horrendous things are happening in his life, we see in him a kind of constancy of prayer. We see in him a continued love and concern for his friends. We see him setting a steady course and walking step by step the road that is laid before him. We can at this time certainly lean upon all of his teachings and upon all of the learning of our life together. I'm sitting now in this moment in my office in a basically empty church building. This sanctuary is a very quiet place these days, but it's filled with the echoes of laughter, the memory of many worship services, the ringing voices of the choir, the raucous kind of chaos that happens at the sharing of the peace, the celebration at the table, and those mornings in the narthex with coffee and conversation. Those things live in this place. The walls ring with the echoes and the memories of those times. And those can actually be a source of strength for us in these days. You should know that your sanctuary is still here. It will be here when the COVID crisis is over. But the memories of this place live in you, and they walk with you wherever you are. In these days, let us take a cue from Jesus. Let's walk step by step this road that is before us, however hard it may get. And let us live with compassion and remember that Jesus has called us to love one another. That even in his worst days, he was still loving the people around him. And he sets for us an example that we can do the same. We can, in these days, look with compassion on those who are near us, especially upon those who are in the house with us, if there's anyone in your home with you. Be kind to the ones that you are confined with. And begin to reach out to your neighbors. If you're staying inside, you have your telephone. You can phone a friend. You can remember in these last days of Jesus' life that he went step by step toward a certain end. And so do we. We go step by step toward a certain end, but our end is much more hopeful than the one facing Jesus. We know that this crisis will abate sometime and that our community will be restored. Once again, these halls at church, these hallowed halls, will be ringing with laughter. The gospel will be proclaimed again in this place. Music will be sung, friendships shared, coffee poured. And in the meantime, we cling to their memory and we hold on to the hope of that restoration. Remember that we are the body of this Christ, and he has endured the worst, so that we might have confidence in the life we share, no matter what it looks like in the moment. May God bless you. May you look backward with gratitude, forward with courage, and upward with confidence. Thanks be to God.
As the Father has loved me.
us pray for new life in the church, new hope for the world, and God's love for all who are in need. We ask, O God, to witness the wideness of your mercy for the whole world, for the church universal, its ministry, and the mission of the gospel. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the well-being of creation, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For peace and justice in the world, the nations, and those in authority, and the community at large, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the poor, oppressed, sick, and lonely, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For all those who are in financial distress, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For all those who are on the front line of the COVID-19 crisis, whether in the hospital, the grocery store, the postal office, the governmental agencies, wherever they are, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the families of those who have died, especially the families of Trish Hegarat, Shannon Hebert, Mike Kerr, Will Sanders, Albert and Velma Hulk, and Ed Cooper, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For this congregation and for the special concerns of all of its members, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For what else do the people of God pray? Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. We pray to you, O God, in the name of the one who endured the cross, forgives our sin, and feeds us at his table, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you always. Receive a blessing. May the Christ who walks with wounded feet walk with you to the end of the road. May the Christ who serves with wounded hands teach you to serve one another. May the Christ who loves with a wounded heart be your love forever. And as you go from this place, may you see the face of Jesus in everyone you meet, and may everyone you meet see the face of Jesus in you.